You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. That's just incredible. And it happened because of one thing, because of your generosity, your willingness to give. And I'm just so proud and thankful to be associated with a group of people who are that generous, who are willing to make things like that happen. You see, it was the hallmark of the first church. The hallmark of the first church was generosity. They were generous people. It's the hallmark of the early church. It's how it was birthed. They would do things for people who could not do for themselves. And they did it without looking for any return on it. They just did it. You see, the early church were for people. And the reason why they were for people was because they understood and they experienced how much God was for them. They realized that if God was for them, who could be against them? And so they wanted to take that message to every community, every village, literally around the world, and to be able to say, God is for you, and we are for you too. Matter of fact, you can see that I have a little swag on, okay? A four. And you can pick that up today at any of your campuses. And it just communicates to those around us that we're for you, because if you wear something like this, you're going to get questions. And it starts a conversation. And you can say, well, you know what? Here's what I believe. I believe that God is for me. And because God is for me, I want you to know that I'm for you. And so that's what we're called to do. I was talking to a friend of mine this past week who just came from Ecuador. Him and his wife and a group from New Point were there. And I was talking to him. He said some things that just kind of rattled my cage. He said, you know what, Dwight? I underestimated the impact that we are having there. I underestimated the impact that we're having on kids who we sponsor through Compassion. I completely underestimated the values of someone writing a small child a letter. I completely underestimated the power of having a church in a village that could share about God's love. He said, Dwight, you know, I really believe that the local church is the hope of the world. And I saw it in action. And basically what he was telling me was this, that his whole perspective had changed. His whole perspective has changed. You see, every once in a while, something happens to you and something happens to me. And we end up seeing our world differently. Though maybe nothing really changed, except for us. And we begin to see it more clearly. We begin to see it in a way in which God sees it. And you begin to see the world actually the way in which God views it and God sees it. Not necessarily in the way in which you've been taught or maybe that you have created yourself. And today is our day of generosity. And we want to be able to see the world as God sees it, because he so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Stephen Covey has this quote, and though it's not a spiritual quote, it definitely speaks to all of us here today. Here's what he said. We see the world not as it is, but as we are, or as we are conditioned to see it. You see, all of us are conditioned to see the world a certain way. We've been taught to see it a certain way. And when you and I are conditioned to see a world in a certain way, there are things in your life and there's things in my life that could hold you back, that could hold me back, because we can't act inconsistently with how we think. And that's why God would call you and I to renew our minds. And renewing our minds basically saying, I don't want to be conditioned to see the world in this way or that way. I want to be conditioned to see the world as you see it, God. And so we're called to renew our mind. And renewing your mind basically means that you're renewing it in a way in which God sees things. You see, here's what we believe at New Point. We believe that when we see as God sees, we will do as God says. You see, when you begin to see the world as God sees it, you'll be inclined to do what God is asking you to do. You won't resist it. You won't push it away. You won't rationalize it away. And so as we renew our minds, we're learning to see the world as God sees it, as He created it to be. And that's why we gather every weekend, because we want to renew our minds. And so we want to be able to see the world clearly. Not as you have been conditioned or I have been conditioned, but as God would have it. Now, if you have kids, you know, you no doubt have told your kids from time to time, hey, you know what? Do as I say. Do as I say. Do as I say. But ultimately, you know, that's not going to cut it. You know that and I know that. And what we want to be able to get them to experience and understand is to see the way that you see. And when they see the way that you see, then they'll end up doing what you do. Because what happens is, now, oh, Dad, now I understand, now I realize. And what happens is, again, there's not that resistance, there's not that frustration, there's not that rationalization. What happens is you end up embracing it. And so God would have you and I to see as He sees, so that we'll do what He says, so that we can see clearly. Now, John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus. He was there to prepare the way. And boy, did he prepare the way. And Luke records an encounter of one of his first messages that he gave in preparing the way for Jesus to come. And I mean, he is a straight shooter. And Luke records it. And here's what Luke has to say. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Now, this is John. I mean, he comes right out of the gate. And he's basically talking to a group of Jewish leaders. And what he is saying is, you're basically snakes. You're superficial. You don't have the goods. Yeah, you're religious in some of your ways. But you know what? You're superficial. You're not really in tune with God. And so he calls them out and he says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? And he calls them out on their superficiality. And here's what he says. Produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. What he's basically saying is this. Outwardly, you look religious. Outwardly, you do this and you do that, but the fact of the matter is you're not genuine. You're superficial. And he says, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Now, what is repentance? What does that word mean? Let me give you a definition. It means this. Repentance means to stop thinking our way and to start thinking like God. Wow. Repentance means I'm not going to think the way that I used to think. God, I'm going to start thinking like you. You know what, God? I'm not going to see the world as I've been conditioned to see it. I'm going to see the world as you see it. And John was saying, produce fruit with your repentance, because he was talking to a group of religious people who were doing the activities, who were doing the rituals, but they didn't see as God sees. So they didn't do what God said. He goes on and he says this. He says, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Don't go back and say, well, we're Abraham's sons and daughters, and so we're okay. He says, no. He says, for I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. He says, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree, listen, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What he is saying is, if you don't bear forth fruit with your repentance, you don't have a good tree. You don't have a good heart, because a good heart produces good fruit. And this struck a chord among the audience that John was teaching and preaching to. And so here was their response. What should we do then? What should we do? Because we don't want it to be cut down. We don't want to be thrown into the fire. And so the crowd asked, what should we do then? Great question. And John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same. Even the tax collectors, Luke tells us, who came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? And John replied, don't collect any more than you are required to. And then the soldiers in the crowd, they came and they said, what should we do? And John replied, don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Does anybody know the thread in all of the responses? It had to do with their possessions. It had to do with their wealth. It had to do with their stuff. And John was saying, produce fruit with your repentance. What's repentance? Repentance is not thinking the way that I used to think, but now I'm thinking the way in which God thinks. About what? About my possessions. About my stuff. You see, that's true spirituality. That's true fruit. When you and I repent and we begin to see as God sees, what happens is we'll begin to see our possessions differently. We'll begin to see clearly now. And see, John laid the foundation and the groundwork, because when Jesus started his ministry, do you know that Jesus spoke more about possessions and wealth and money than he did heaven or hell or love? Because true repentance that produces fruit starts there. You and I begin to see clearly now how God sees, and he sees people over possessions. And so Jesus, when he kicked off his ministry and he did the Sermon on the Mount, guess where he went? He went where John left off. And he basically was saying, folks, if you're going to follow me, you've got to produce fruit with your repentance. And it's going to deal with your possessions, how you view them. And so Jesus says it like this. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroys, and where thieves break in and steal. Wow. He's saying, listen, I'm talking to you about your possessions. I want you to see this clearly, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. See, Jesus was basically saying, I want you to repent. I want you to see as God sees so that you'll do what God says. And Jesus basically was saying to this audience, God sees your money, God sees your stuff as a tool, to be used. And Jesus was coming right out of the gate, and he was saying, you know what? I want you to understand something about your possessions. They shouldn't be your treasures. They should be your tools. See, Jesus later on said this, I tell you, use your worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, and one day it will be gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Wow. What he is saying here is this, is that your possessions, your wealth, your money, your stuff, God sees it as a tool for you to use, a tool for me to use. So that when you step into eternity, when you take your last breath here on earth, there will be people who will welcome you because you viewed your stuff, you viewed your wealth, you viewed your possessions as a tool. And God sees it as a tool. You see, many times we ask, well, what will I get for it? But God has another question. Jesus has another question. And it's this right here. It's, who will you have to show for it? Who will you have to show for it? When you begin to see your possessions and your wealth and your stuff as a tool, and you begin to use it to develop friendships, to be able to invest in something like Cambridge, to invest in a church in Ecuador, to be able to invest in a child and sponsor them. The question is, who will you have to show for it? Who will you have to show for your possessions, for your wealth, for your stuff? See, I can't help but pause and say thank you to New Point, because many of you understand this. This is why we were able to celebrate a brand new launching of Cambridge, because you understand, you've come to a point of where you see as God sees, and so you do what God says. And what you've done is you've leveraged your possessions, your wealth, your money, your stuff for his kingdom, for his work. And you know that you're gonna take money that's here today and gone tomorrow, and you're gonna do something incredible with it. You see it as a tool. And you not only see your money as a tool, but you see your house as a tool. You see your car as a tool. You see your swimming pool as a tool. You see everything that you have, all of your possessions, as a tool that God has given you. And you're using it to be able to make friends, to win people to Christ. And I'm thanking you for that. And if you happen to be a guest here today, or maybe a visitor, or maybe you don't attend here regularly, you know, just take a look around the room. You're seeing some generous people. Some of them have money. Some of them have a little bit of money. Some of them have no money. But you know what? They're generous. And they understand that everything that they have is a tool to be used in every way. And so what they've done is they've taken that tool to be able to make friends, to be able to influence people, to be able to make a difference forever and ever. Some of you I know, because you've told me, you've had collections And I'm not going to mention what type, but you've had collections. And you know what? For years, you did nothing but dust them off and show them off. And you know what you did? You sold them. Because you caught this. And you realize, hey, you know what? They're nothing more than stuff. And I want to put them in circulation. I'm going to use them as a tool. And when you and I do that, and I'm not against collections, but some of you have caught this. You see as God sees. You see your stuff just as a tool to be used for a greater purpose. And some of you have done that. And what happens is the temporal becomes the eternal then. You take it out of circulation, and whatever that collection was, you say, hey, you know what? I've had it long enough. I've showed it off long enough. You know what? If I leave it to my kids, they're going to sell it because they don't prize it and treasure it like I do. So why not go ahead and put it into circulation and use it as a tool to be able to help people understand that God loves them? So Jesus would say, do not store up treasures here on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. Understand that your possessions, your wealth, your money is a tool. That's how God sees it. Jesus continued and he said this, for where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. Saying you want to know where somebody's heart really is? Find out what they value. Find out what they prize. That will be where their heart is also. And he goes on and he gives us a description here. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. The word healthy there, you ready for this? The word healthy there means generous. He's basically saying, the eye is the lamp of your body if your eyes are generous. Because what happens is, what gets your attention? Whatever gets your attention is where your eyes are focused. And he says, if your eyes are generous, then your whole body will be full of light. He's basically saying, if you're generous, then your whole body will be generous. Your whole life will be generous. But if your eyes are unhealthy, stingy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Have you ever heard this? They just gave me the evil eye. That's what he's talking about here. When somebody gives you the evil eye, it's kind of like they grudgingly dislike you or what you're doing. That's the evil eye. The good eye is that they're generous towards you. And Jesus is saying, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And if the eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eye is full of light, then guess what? You're going to be a generous person. What Jesus is saying is this right here. God sees money as a test. God sees money as a test. For where your treasure is, there is your heart. What captures your attention? Is it possessions or is it people? See, you can misjudge me. Do you know that? See, you give me the opportunity to stand up here and to be able to teach you. And you might misconstrue that I'm a spiritual man because I do that. But don't give me too much credit. If you want to know how spiritual I am, here's the test. Look at my bank statement. Look at my Visa card statement. Look at my MasterCard statement. That's where you'll find out, because you'll begin to learn that where my treasure is, that's where my heart is. And that's why we're so protective of it, right? Because the fact of the matter is, you know, as John was saying, you brood of vipers. You're superficial. You're not genuine. Produce fruit with your repentance. Start thinking like God. Start seeing as God sees. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And it's very easy, you know, for you to mistake my spirituality. You can say, well, he teaches so passionately. And I understand it. And so he must be spiritual. But if you really want to know where Dwight's heart is, look at my statements. My bank statements. Because my heart is where my stuff is. It's where my money goes. Y'all okay? You see, God sees money as a tool to be used, but he also sees it as a test to see where my heart is. Jesus said this. He said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, possessions, who will trust you with what? Who will trust you with true riches? True riches. See, it's a test. It's a test. It's a test for me. It's a test for you. And you'll never experience the true riches of life. You'll never experience the true riches of Christ until you see as God sees. That's why you can go to church all your life and never change, never be transformed. Because God never got your heart. Because you never gave him your possessions. You see, here's what we have to understand. How we manage what we assume is ours reflects our devotion to the one to whom it actually belongs. How I manage my stuff, it's really not my stuff, but how I manage my stuff reflects my devotion to the one whom it actually belongs to. And so God sees it as a test. As a test. And he says, if you're faithful over little, I'll put you in charge over much. What's he saying here? He's saying people who are faithful with their possessions will receive rewards in heaven. See, there's more to this life than living and dying. And I know that when I go there, it makes some of you uncomfortable. Well, Dwight, I just want to give because it's the right thing to give. Okay, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Great, good. But for others of us, it's a motivating factor. God, you're telling me how I handle this small stuff that you have for me here impacts eternity? Yeah, Dwight, you know what? It's a test. I'm testing you. Because everything that you and I have is small stuff. It's peanuts, my friends. And he says that if we handle it correctly, if we see as he sees, and ultimately do what he says, then what happens is we will experience true riches. And so what we have to understand is this: your generosity matters beyond this life. It matters beyond this life. It's huge, it's important. And I want you to be able to say, I can see clearly now, Dwight. I've been conditioned one way, but now, you know what, I understand that money is a tool to be used. Money is a test. It's a test on how I'm going to manage the stuff that God's allowed me to have. Jesus continues and he wraps it up with this. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Wow. And then he gives an exclamation point. He says, you cannot serve both God and money. Can't do it. Superficial. Not genuine. That's what John the Baptist was saying. Produce fruit with your repentance. When you see as God sees, you'll do what God says. There'll be no resistance. You see, you cannot serve both God and money. Here's what God is saying. Here's what Jesus is saying. God sees our use of money as a trademark. As a trademark. And what do I mean by that? Well, you know what a trademark is. A trademark signifies ownership. That's what it does. It signifies ownership. And so what he is saying is, hey, Dwight, you know what? You can't serve your possessions and your wealth and all of this and think that you're serving me at the same time. It doesn't work that way. You see, you know, maybe you would think that Jesus would say, you can't serve the devil and God. That's not what he said. Listen to me. The chief competitor for your heart is stuff. That's the chief competitor. That's what will keep you from having a devoted heart to God. That's what will keep me from having a surrendered heart to God. It will be my stuff. And Jesus was saying, Dwight, saying to his crowd there, you can't serve God and money. And so here's what we have to understand. What you do with what you have signifies whose you are. Wow. Say what? Yeah. What you do with what you have signifies who you are. How you view your stuff, how you leverage your stuff, how you handle your stuff is an indicator of whose you truly are. See, that's incredible, but that makes us uncomfortable. See, we're like those people there that John the Baptist was talking to. We want to say, look at me. I'm a son of Abraham. Look at me. I go to church. Look at me. I'm a daughter of Abraham. I take notes on Sunday morning. Look at me. I raise my hands. And what Jesus is basically saying is how you use your money is a trademark of who you really belong to. Who you really belong to. And let me wrap up. Today is a day of generosity. Can I just tell you, generosity has nothing to do with your finances? Okay? Nothing to do with your finances. Rich people aren't generous. People who have a lot of stuff aren't generous. Do you know who's generous? Generous people. Right? You've known people who've had very little, and you would describe them as what? Generous. You've known people who have some stuff, and they were generous. You knew people who had more than you have, and they were generous. And no doubt you've known people who are very wealthy, who are generous. See, generosity is not an economic status. It's a heart issue. Because you've known people who have had very, very little who weren't generous, right? You know people who have had a little bit of stuff who weren't generous. You know people who had a lot who weren't generous. You see, generosity is not how much you have or how little you have. It's your heart. It's your heart. And Jesus would say this to you and me. We need to see as God sees. So we'll do what God says. And God sees money as a tool. God sees money as a test. And God sees money as a trademark of who I really am. And today, you know what? Today you have an opportunity to begin to walk down that path. On all of your seats, there's envelopes. And this is a day of generosity. It was the hallmark of the first church, the early church. They were four people. And so today what we want to do is we want to give you an opportunity to participate in that. And it is our goal, it is our prayer that we will take care, listen to me, that we will take care of every foster child that's in every county that we have a campus. That's six counties. And we want to make sure that they have a Merry Christmas. We want to make sure that they have a gift. We want them to know that God's for them. We want them to know that we're for them. You have an opportunity to do that. We also want to be able to give you the opportunity to provide clean water for children all around the world. $1,500 can do one well in many of the locations around the world. Others, it's $5,000. But just think of that, that you could be a tool and be able to say, hey, I'm going to leverage this. I'm going to see this as God sees it, and I'm going to leverage it, and I'm going to use it as a tool. And you know what? I've got this collection over here that's been keeping just dust, and I've been paying insurance on it. And you know what? I'm going to see it differently now. I'm going to see it as a tool, and I'm going to put it in circulation. And you know what? I'm going to do a well. I'm going to do two wells. You know what? I'm going to buy some gifts for a foster child and let them know that somebody loves them, somebody thinks of them. And here's what I know will happen in your life, because it's happened in my life. Your life will be changed. Your heart will begin to beat as God's heart beats. And you'll have the thrill of one day, though you may never meet them this side of heaven, you'll have the thrill of them one day, because we'll all have perfect knowledge in heaven, of them running up to you and saying, you know what, I was that little boy, and I got a gift, thank you. Or you might have a whole village run up to you and say, hey, you know what, I lived in that village of where you gave. And because of that, we had clean water, and I didn't die of some disease. And so today, I want to encourage you to be able to be generous. Let your eye move towards this and allow it to fill your whole body with light. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that you're a generous God, not on special occasions, but on every day. 24/7, 365. You are generous towards us. You have demonstrated over and over again that you are for us. And we want to be able to see the world as you see it, so that we will not fight, we will not resist, but we will embrace everything you want us to do, because we will know that it's the right thing to do. It's the best thing to do. And so today, God, we want to be more like you. So help us to see that which you've blessed us with as a tool, as a test, and as a trademark. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.